verses 17 and 18. Matthew 26:17-18. My thought tonight's a little different, and many others have preached maybe along these lines. I have actually gleaned a lot of cream from others. I'm going to try to churn our own milk, though, with this thought. Let's stand together. Matthew 26:17-18. Matthew 26:17-18. If you're there, say amen. Praise God. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man. Everybody say that with me. Such a man. And say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. We're just going to call it the gospel according to Mr. Such. The gospel according to Mr. Such. Father, thank you for the word of God tonight. Minister in our hearts. Bless your word. Bless the hearers. And just meet us in this place of worship. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I recently read how there was a man named Mr. Odd. O-D-D. Odd. And obviously people made fun of him because of his name. So he decided to keep his gravestone blank when he died. And now when people pass by his gravestone, they point and say, That's odd. Never mind. You ever had some odd things happen to you? I was thinking this afternoon, it's kind of odd how a $20 bill seems like such a large amount when you donate it to the church. But how many notice it's such a small amount when you go shopping? Isn't that odd? It's odd how 2 hours seem so long when you're in church, but so short when we're playing a softball game. Right? It's odd that we can't find hardly a word to say when we're praying, but oh, don't we have plenty of words? We have no trouble thinking about what to talk to a friend about. It's odd how difficult and boring some people think reading one chapter of Scripture is, but how easy it is for them to read 100 posts on Facebook. Oh, I just lost you on that shuffle. Oh, praise God. You're going to help me tonight. I'm going to try to hurry, okay? Okay? I want to share something odd with you tonight. I want to introduce you to a man today or tonight some would consider to be an odd fellow to preach about. Yet, in a sense, I think he's kin to you and kin to me. He would be listed in everyone's family tree and would show up at every family reunion. So as we get into our text, we're told that the framework of this incident is that it is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the last night before trial and crucifixion, I believe Satan has already entered Judas Iscariot, and he has already agreed with the chief priests to betray the Lord for the price of a slave. Christ begins to tell his disciples that they need to prepare a place for him to have this Last Supper with them, known as the Passover. They ask Christ in verse 17, "Where wilt thou that we prepare, that we can eat the Passover together?" And simply put, the disciples were asking, "Lord, do you have any room in mind? And if you have a room, what's the address? Who's the one? What's the guy's name that you made reservations with?" And Christ, I believe, knowing that Judas is eavesdropping, taking all this information in that he can, because he's looking for an opportunity to know where they're going to be, so he can tell, "Hello, the authorities." All he needs is an address. All he needs is the man's name and the area, and he would report it back to the chief priests. And if he did that, then there probably would have never been a Gethsemane. But Christ did something different. He gives them a name without giving them a name. "Go into the city to such a man." So what's the man's name? We're just going to call him Such. Mr. Such. Where's the Last Supper going to be eaten? At Mr. Such's house. Hello. Now, and I'm going to use a play on words. This man named Such is found throughout the New Testament. And really, I want us to see tonight that he's a picture of you and me. Can we do that? First of all, I want us to notice that Mr. Such was a sinner. And then we're going to notice that Mr. Such had a sentence. Then we're going to see Mr. Such get saved. Then we're going to see, well, never mind. We'll wait, give you those points when we get there. Because you're not going to remember them anyway, are you? Three of you will. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Mr. Such, I want you to remember this. Point number one was a sinner. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." But notice verse 11, "And such were some of you. But you are washed. Ye are sanctified, and ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." How many saw him in those verses? Did you see Mr. Such? There he is. And Paul lists the sinful resume of every soul. And he says that such were some of you. Every one of us entered this world as a such. Hello. We were all what? Sinners. Depraved, despicable, dead in trespasses and sins, helpless, hopeless. Paul says, and such, though, think about this, were, that's past tense, and right there is a glorious exclamation. Because the list of unrighteous lifestyles indicates the kinds of backgrounds from which the Corinthian believers came from. But aren't you glad they have been transformed? Three of us are. Paul explains the transformation in three different aspects. He says they were, number one, washed from the filth of their former lifestyles. Number two, they were sanctified by being set apart holy unto the Lord. And number three, they were justified so that now they can now have good standing in the courtroom of heaven because of what Christ did. They're going to inherit the kingdom of God. And so this passage is encouraging for those who feel trapped in sinful lifestyles. In God, there is hope for transformation for anybody. Oh, come on, church. Isn't that the truth? Do we really believe that at Broadway? I said, is there hope of transformation for anybody? No matter what a sinful practice you're caught in, miraculous change is possible. And Paul's example of offering hope immediately on the heels of a warning, I think it's a helpful reminder that, hey, listen, when we preach about sin, it must be accompanied by preaching about the glory of regeneration by the power of Christ. It takes the whole gospel to redeem the whole person. Let me say that again. It takes the whole gospel to redeem the whole person because Such was a sinner. Number two, Mr. Such had a sentence. All right? If you want to turn there, you can go to John, Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 5. Here in this text, a person is caught in the very act of adultery and drug to Christ. Remember that story? And they say to Christ, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But they said, what sayest thou? Hello. I said, point number two is Mr. Such had a sentence. Huh? He should have been stoned. She should have been stoned. According to the law, this woman had a death sentence. She deserved to die. According to the law, we're all sinners, and we all had a sentence of death. But in God's eternal courtroom, we all stood guilty of death, hell, and judgment. Such is a sinner, and such had a sentence. But thank God one day, number three, such got saved. Acts chapter 2, verse 43. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Ah, hallelujah. There's old Such again. He was a sinner. He had a sentence. But one day he heard that Christ died, was buried, rose again on the third day. He repented of his sin. He cried out to God for mercy. And about that time, mercy walked in and old Such got saved. Hallelujah. Now his name is recorded in heaven's roll. And if you scroll down to the S's, you should find him listed there, right? As such. And if you're on your way to heaven tonight, it's because you were a sinner, you had a sentence, but one day you repented of your sin, took off the old coat, put on the new, and was gloriously saved by the Lord. Your name has been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, and if you scroll down in those letters, you'll find it listed right there next to Such's. Such was a sinner, Such had a sentence, but Such got saved, and guess what he starts doing? Point number four, Mr. Such starts shouting. Praise God. I'm messing with you, aren't I? You want to see this one? It's in John chapter 4, 23 through 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Hallelujah. Did you see that? God is looking, he's seeking for such, the one who was a sinner, the one who had a sentence, the one who got saved, is now being invited to join the worship team in heaven.
I said he's being invited to worship in heaven, and he's being invited to worship here on earth. You know, I'm afraid that when some believers get to heaven, God's going to have to put them in the beginner's class of praising him, because they've never done it before down here. They belong in one of those old, cold, dead icebox churches where Jack Frost is their pastor and everybody suffers from hypothermia. Listen, when it comes to worship, I like the story of John the Baptist. Remember that? He's been in his mother's womb for about 6 months now. Hello. And all of a sudden, one day Mary comes into Elizabeth's house and starts talking to her cousin Elizabeth about Jesus. Oh, do you know what John does? Huh? He took a leap as soon as he heard the name of Jesus. And he shouted before he was ever even born. Some folks have never shouted since they have been born. Huh? But if you were a sinner with a sentence and you've been saved by the grace of God, you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, he lives on the inside of you. And I submit to you that something as big as God living in something as small as you, that ought to at least cause a little holy hiccup once in a while. Somebody praise God. Such was a sinner with a sentence, but he got saved and he started worshiping God. He started shouting, "Thank God I'm saved." Praise God.
Oh, folks, how many know, though, life happens? I want you to look at point number five. Mr. Such stumbled. We're not told exactly what happened to Such, but all that we know is that he stumbled in some kind of sin, and it looks like he backslid. And that's why Paul wrote to the church of Galatians in chapter 6 and 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such." Hello. "Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." The idea of the word overtaken is he didn't intentionally sin. This sin kind of snuck up on him. Hello. Oh, you all are awful sanctimonious, like you've never had a sin sneak up on you. Huh? This one was sly. Huh? He was overtaken, and he fell into the pit of temptation and sin. And now he's out of church. He's being unfaithful to God. He has no joy, no victory, no peace in his heart. He's a miserable wretch. And by the way, what's Paul tell us who are quote-unquote spiritual to do? What are we to do with old stumbling brother Such? We are to restore him. Now, I understand they've got to be willing to be restored. And so one of the most needed and yet most neglected ministries of the body of Christ is that of going after and seeking the backsliders, trying to restore a brother and a sister who's been overtaken in a sin. We avoid doing that for a number of reasons in the church. Number one, nobody really likes confrontation. Now, some of you might. I don't. We don't know what to say or how to go about it. We don't want to be seen as being judgmental, critical. We're aware of our own shortcomings, and we don't want to come across as a hypocrite. I understand that. So we say, well, it's none of my business, I guess. Let the person go on in his merry way. Perhaps you'll come and tell the pastor or an elder. Let them deal with it. But let me say this. The ministry of restoring a fallen brother or sister belongs, Scripture says, to them that are spiritual. Hello. Which means spiritually mature. Those who walk in the Spirit. While never easy, it is vital to the spiritual health of the church to have these that are spiritual be able to restore. We cannot be faithful to the Lord if we don't grow in our ability to perform this important ministry. It's a ministry in the church because we're to do all we can to see that individual get back up after they stumble. We've got to stop and help Mr. Such up. Do all we can to see him get that broken relationship between him and God mended. I understand. It takes, he says, spiritual ones. You need to be seasoned. You need to be spiritual. You need to be spirit-filled. You need to be a loving saint of God to perform this kind of spiritual operation. How many has ever met a mean-spirited Christian? Oh, yeah. There's mean-spirited Christians out there who would say, oh, Mr. Such stumbled. Let's go push him down a little further. Hello? Huh? We shoot our wounded. There's too many. One minister called them Taliban Pentecostal Pharisees. They shoot their wounded and they run off and hurt more people than ISIS ever have. Before we get all high and mighty, Paul says we better remember also, consider ourselves. Because it's only by the grace of God that is not me stumbling. That is not you that stumbled. Such was a sinner. He had a sentence, but he got saved. He started shouting, but over time, life happened, and he stumbled, and he got away from God. But Paul says, don't give up on Mr. Such. Why? Because he can be restored. Has anybody in here tonight ever been restored in your relationship with God? Hallelujah. I believe we all have, no doubt, if we be honest with ourselves. There's times we stumble and times we grow cold. But in time, God's grace does its work through repentance, through confession. And thank God for the purifying work of the blood of Jesus Christ that soon Mr. Such can get back in the choir again and start singing louder than ever. Amazing grace. How sweet it sounds. That saved a wretch like me. Praise God. All right. Finally, I found out that old Mr. Such, he's been restored. All right. And now he's going to be leaving this world pretty soon. Look here. Revelation 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. On such, the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Oh, praise God. John says the second death has no power over such. Such is caught up, he said, in the third heaven. How many know that's where God is? That's where God lives. That's the whole Christian experience right there, wrapped up in the man called such. That's the gospel according to Mr. Such. So the last time I found old such, I remembered that he was a sinner. He was sentenced to die, but he got saved. He became a worshiper. He got cold in his experience. He belonged to a good church. He went out and found such, restored him to fellowship, and thank God he's going to be among those around the throne eternal saying, hallelujah, holy is our God, holy is the Lord. Listen, friends, that's where we come into this thing. Listen, Paul said, such were some of you. That means you and you and you and me.
We were there. We were in sin without God. But thank God His mercy. Thank God for His grace. Thank God we can now worship Him. And I'm going to say thank God we're going to enjoy heaven one of these days. And thank God. Listen, I was thinking this week, Isaac Watts, you know, he was one of the great hymn writers of history. And in thinking of this topic, I think history says he composed over 500 hymns, many of which are written, I think, by the time they said he was 23. And one of his hymns is the one, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." I think C.H. Spurgeon said that's the greatest hymn ever written. Watts was considered a nonconformist, or what they would call a dissenter, because he didn't go along with the heretical teachings of the Catholic Church or the Anglican Church. He was buried in what's called No Man's Field. It was later named Bunhill Field, which was a dissenter cemetery for those who were not a part of the Church of England. And others buried there in that little graveyard, individuals like John Bunyan, the writer of Pilgrim's Progress, Puritan preachers like John Gill and John Owen. But as we sit here tonight, Watts's words should flood our heart when he said, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I?" Huh? At the cross, where I first saw the light, the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. By the way, it is said that was the song that was being sung during the invitation at 30th Street Methodist Church, New York City, when 30-year-old woman named Fanny Crosby rose to her feet, went to the altar and accepted Christ as her Savior, and went on to write hymns like "Blessed Assurance," "Jesus is Mine." Oh, but I mention this because Watts captured the idea. All of us were such a worm, right? We were all such sinners with a sentence, but by God's grace, we were saved. And now we can shout redemptive praises all the way to heaven. Hallelujah. Yes, we may stumble, right? But thank God we can be restored by the power of God. And one day, we're going to ship out of here, get transported to glory. And by the way, I got to hurry. But I want you to notice something here before we close. I failed to mention that Such, when he got saved, he got adopted into the family of God. Huh? You know what the name of the family he got adopted into? Much. Huh? Such and Much are in the same family now. And the Much family is found all through the New Testament too. Huh? I'll not take this long this time, but let me show you a few scriptures. Example in Romans 5. Because when Such was adopted into the Much family, Such got much pardon. Huh? Romans 5, 9 and 10. "Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by Christ's life." Notice verse 15. "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." Verse 17, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did. Oh, come on. Grace did much more abound. Oh, somebody say, praise God. Praise God. So he got much pardon. Matthew 6:23 says he had much provision. Now look at this. Behold the fowls of the air, Christ said, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? God's going to provide for us. I said, God's going to provide for you. Much pardon, much provision. Look at this. Much prayer. James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, somebody say praise God. There's still power in prayer. Just as such, he knows there's much power in prayer. Look at this. Not only much prayer, much power. Luke 11:13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Oh, would we get some hungry hearts that says, God, I want to see the power, much more power than I have right now. Oh, look at this, Luke 18:39. Not only much pardon, much provision, much prayer, much power. How about much praise? Luke 18:39. And they which went before rebuked him, this is blind Bartimaeus, that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, what about this one? Hebrews 10:25, much participation, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more. Oh, I'm glad you're in church tonight. So much the more as ye see the day approaching. Oh, somebody say, I'm glad I'm in the house of God tonight. There's no place better than being in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. So such got much more than he ever deserved. I said, such got much more than he ever deserved. Is there anybody in here that can say, I have received blessings from God? I did not deserve them, but I am thankful that he poured them out on me. I want you to stand to your feet, and I want you to begin to praise him right now and say, thank God, from such to much. Hallelujah. That's the blessings. That's the power. That's the mercy of God. He didn't have to do it, but he did. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, just worship him a little bit for just a moment or two. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. You didn't have to do it, but you did, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? I'm gonna close. I'm going to get out of here. You're going to go home, and you're going to get your rest so you can come out, and we can have a good time tomorrow out at the campground. But I wonder, is there anybody here tonight? Maybe you're like Mr. Such. You've stumbled in an area. I want to reach out, and I'll promise you the Lord's reaching out to you tonight. And he's willing and ready to restore such a one. If you'd like to come, I want to invite you. If you're here and you just would say, I'd like to give much praise. I want to just give some worship tonight. Because I once was a sinner. I once had a sentence passed on me. But thank God in his mercy he saved me. Now I have reason to shout and worship him. As well, I want to welcome you to come and let's worship him. Let's just have a great little time of worship. You don't know what God's going to do in somebody's heart tonight. He can do all, everything in one, just in one instant. He can restore somebody that stumbles. And He can save. He can give you a worship in your heart, a shout in your spirit, a praise on your lips. Oh, how many believe that's the truth? All right, would you just come as they minister in song and worship? Oh, I feel the presence of the Lord. He's here tonight. Just come close to Him. Just come close to Him. I invite you, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers. Oh, hallelujah.
You thought I was worth keeping.
Yes, He did.
So you clean me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping.
Oh, hallelujah, Jesus.
So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I can tell everyone I know.